Hi, this is JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Here at UK Health Radio, we're hugely saddened by the loss at New Year of my co-presenter, Dr. Mark Goulston. But we hope that you'll appreciate the chance to hear once again one of our Hurt Less, Live More shows in honour of a special friend. Here it is now. Welcome to Hurt Less, Live More with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Dr. Mark Goulston. And this week we have a fabulous guest with us, Gail Kirschenbaum, who maybe Mark, you can introduce Gail because you know Gail better than I do.
Well, Gail and I met years ago when her movie Look at Us Now, Mother came out. And if you're listening to the show, you've got to check out the movie. It was the story of Gail and her mother's relationship. And the mother was self-involved, very vain. And I think there was a previous shorter thing that she did called The Nose, because her mother said, you know, you got a bump on your nose. Why don't you change that thing? And they've had this relationship for I don't know how many decades. Well, since you were born, what's moved me recently is that Gail has shared with me some apologies that her mother has been giving at the age of close to the age of 100. Maybe she's senile to say those things, Gail. I don't know, but really touching and. And also, Gail has worked in television. She's an amazing photographer, so you'll need to really visit her, everything about her and her website. And so we met then, and we've stayed in touch since. And what I hope we'll talk about with some humor, a lot of humor, is how do you get over the hurt of a relationship with a parent that, you know, wasn't exactly what we hoped it would be?
Yeah, and Gail, just before we go on, I really want to hear from you, but where can people find this movie, this film?
Okay, so it's on several platforms. I assume people are listening from all over, right?
Yeah.
Here? So yeah. If they go to my website, which is gailkirschenbaum.com, and they click on films, then they will see Look at Us Now, Mother, and it will link to a lot of platforms because it depends where you are and where you have access. So, you know, in America,
yeah,
you know, it was on Netflix, it's Amazon Prime, but there are some platforms that are international, so they should be able to click there. And if they go to my website and they're struggling to find it, they can always email me through my website and I can help them.
Fantastic, fantastic. So, yeah. A relationship with our parents, something that I am very much aware of. Both my parents have gone now, but yeah, I had my issues. So tell us how your relationship was with your mother, because that's who we've been talking about with the film. Yeah.
So just to set the stage, I was born in the 50s. I was the youngest of three. I had two older brothers, and we were spaced 4 years apart. So you would think, you know, one would just assume that a mother getting a daughter, you know, having a daughter after two boys would be like winning the lottery or something great. But I grew up hearing I was supposed to be Gary. My brothers were told, even if anybody watches my film, you'll see my brothers on camera going, we thought Gary was coming home from the hospital. So I joke. And I'm sort of serious. I think you got off to a bad start when she found out when they woke her up. But back then, you know, it was a natural childbirth. At least, you know, she was knocked out and then told she had a girl. And I found out later, like decades later, after my movie came out, one of my brothers told me that he remembers that my father took my mother away after I was born. And I think she was depressed, but she'll deny it. So if we're to go with my theory, because I would say she's got narcissist qualities, a woman giving birth, particularly of her generation, to a same gender child is suddenly competition has arrived on the scene. And you can see, I'm very lucky with my archive because my father bought an 8mm camera right when my mother was pregnant with me. So you can see all in all this footage, I'm like a little toddler running to him, you know, at the swimming pool, and he picks me up and he holds me in one arm. And then you see my mother enter frame, yanking his other arm, like, what about me? You know, it's silent footage, but I'm sort of writing the captions. You can see in all this footage how rough she was with me, even like I'm a baby in a high chair. And she's not patient. She's yanking my arm. She's pushing the food in and yanking me. So she wasn't happy. And so that anger and rage went right to me. And so I couldn't do anything right. And so, you know, and daughters, you know, as daughters also, I mean, the mother-daughter relationship, you know, is like the most highly charged relationship. If you Google Amazon for books, that is the most category of family relationship books. And like daughters of narcissistic mothers is very big. And so, because we are reflections of our mothers. So they want us to look good. So mostly it's the physical, from the hair, the clothing, your weight, everything. So I had everything, you know, it began with my hair getting straightened. I have curly hair since I was young, you know, as my nose grew, she wanted me to have that bobbed. And so just, you know, constant. So, it was rough. I never knew it was irrational anger. I never knew what would trigger it because it didn't make sense. So I was living in a state of fight or flight. And when you're so fearful, it turns to illness. So I had had no appetite, and I was riddled with headaches, dizzy spells, and nausea. I was throwing up quite a bit. And I remember in seventh grade, I was in a carpool on the way to Hebrew school, and I said to the kids in the car that I had a headache, and they all said, "What's that?" And I thought, doesn't everybody get that? So that I left home at 16. The social worker said, "You really need to get out of there." I'm no genius, but I doubled up on English and math, and I was able to enter university young. So I went away 200 miles away, and that was the beginning of my saving grace because I didn't have to come home and live with my abuser and be in this constant state of fear. And
Wow.
I
And I
can
want
go
to ask
on, but I yeah.
I mean, and the, your life story mirrors mine in so many respects. I mean, not quite the same, obviously, but just listening to you just now, you know, I didn't recognize my mother as a narcissist or having narcissistic tendencies until 2 years after she passed. She passed 3 years ago. And I never quite put the two together. Never understood why she behaved in certain ways. And I didn't get the anger in the same way, but there was always a kind of a slight dismissiveness around things. You know, I might achieve something and she'd say, "Is that good?" And you'd think, "What kind of question is that?" You know, but when I was younger, yes, I mean, you know, I couldn't be needing glasses. You know, long distance, you know, spectacles. She just completely dismissed that. It was completely, you know, said, no, you're just making it up. And then one day when she realized that I really couldn't see that well long distance, after I think probably about a year of telling her that I had to ask teacher in class to be put to the front of the class because I couldn't read the blackboard, she suddenly realized, she said, "Oh, I just thought that you were trying to be like all your other friends at school who had glasses." I mean, who? What I think I was 11. What 11-year-old wants to wear glasses, right? Yeah, and so there was a lot of that going on, and I left home at just about 2 weeks after my 17th birthday. Didn't go immediately to university because of the way things worked out. There was no money to send me, so I left home. Said, okay, in those days, I could work for 3 years and get a mature student's grant. And that was my intention. But then I became a journalist. And then I realized, you know, actually, is there any point? You know, here
Right.
I am doing this. But it very similar, very, very similar.
Yeah. Did
Yeah.
you have brothers? I'm just wondering.
Two
Did your
sisters, older than me.
Okay. Well, it is interesting to see because you know, you can grow up in the same family and have a completely different upbringing.
Yeah.
And also the sibling relationship that you have with your siblings depends on how your your parents treated you. So I didn't grow up close with my brothers because they were told to bully me, and they didn't, you know, they didn't need much encouragement. You know, put her on the refrigerator, you hold her, you break down her door. And, you know, the irony of the story is they became very successful by what success is. One became a doctor, one became a lawyer. They both married, had children, grandchildren, you know, all the wealth and what we, you know, society looks at success. And they just bullied me, my brother, till the day he died, you know. And I want to share this. I actually really want to share this. And I don't, you know, Mark said we go back, we know each other. I just need to share this. So my elder brother, unfortunately, got cancer, and he, and from diagnosis to when he passed was 3 years. And when he was pretty sick, he said to me, we were gathered for a holiday. He said to me, you know, I'm very jealous of you. So my knee-jerk reaction was, oh, because I'm healthy and he's not. So I said, Erwin, I wish I had a baton, a magic wand. I would put it over you to remove the cancer. Anyway, we were called to the table, and that was the end of it. 2 months later, I saw him the most ever in his life the summer he died, because I wanted to be there to help. Not that I was not always available before, but he was never interested. But anyway, and he was really like declining, and he had just made his funeral arrangements. He was controlling everything to the minute he died. And I said, hey, Erwin, what did you mean when you said you were jealous of me? Now, I need to let you know, when I had career success like yourself, you know, which is really interesting. Like, I remember I won an Emmy for my first film. There was no acknowledgement. They never watched anything I did. You know, I just felt like they didn't care at all. And in fact, I was almost ashamed. I said to him, hey, you know, if there was best lawyer, you would have won it. Okay, I'm just in a glamorous field. Anyway, so it's amazing what he said to me. I said, what did you mean when you said you were jealous of me? He said, and you know, so I, your listeners would know that I have not married and I don't have children, you know? So when you age, you start thinking I'm alone. Who's going to take care of me? Okay. And I have lived an artist's life. I haven't lived, you know, as money driven. Okay. So anyway, long story short, he said to me, because I live my life as a free spirit. And I thought, oh my God, my brother was trapped. I didn't even realize how trapped he was, but he has lived a trapped life. And if you watch my film, and I don't know, Mark, if you remember it, he said, you do what you're told. He was like my mother's good soldier. If she said, put his little sister on the refrigerator, he did whatever he was told he did. If his mother dressed him in this blazer, because my mother was very glamorous, you know. In fact, the poster, which is for my brother's bar mitzvah, she's in this gorgeous green dress. She had her hair green. She was ahead of her time, but I took it out from the poster. But, you know, she goes, I am, you know, she, I am Mommy Dearest. I am Joan Crawford. She loves it, you know. So she was very, so how we all looked was always very important. So he did everything he was told. And, you know, these boys growing up from a Jewish family, you were either a doctor or a lawyer. He was pre-med. He was feigning in the lab. So he became a lawyer. You know, I was a girl, was supposed to be a teacher since I was five. Yes. So I picked the universe. And since they told me education wasn't important for me, because you're going to get married and have babies, which obviously I didn't do either. You're going to a state school. Or a city school, you know, your brothers will go to private school. So I picked the state school that was 200 miles away, and I did not have an education department. And I went on the work study program and did two jobs because I wanted my freedom. My tuition then was only $300, but I didn't want to be told what to do. So here is my brother dying, and he died a very wealthy man. He never got to enjoy his wealth. He worked his butt off, and he was trapped. So he, you know, so I kind of feel, and I know you're spiritual. So here's my deal. I feel, and always felt it, that I came into this world as an old soul, into a family of new souls. I felt that even though I was the youngest, you know, in my physical age, I felt I came with knowledge, and that everybody in my family was clueless. That's why I start my film. And I think my talk, did you ever feel like you were born into the wrong family? Because, you know, when I was growing up, my brothers worshiped their mother, and my older one woke up, you know, in his early 20s, and then he became crazed at her and just treated her horribly for his whole life. He would unleash at her, you know? So anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, that You mentioned in your TED talk, I haven't seen the whole movie, but you say that, you know, you felt that you were born into the wrong family. And I felt that as well. In fact, at the end of my mother's life, we used to joke that I was an alien. In fact, you know, that I was swapped at birth somehow, because, you know, I couldn't possibly have been. How was I of her flesh, you know? And we were able to joke about it in the end. But I did feel that otherness so strongly growing up. Really did. Yeah.
And we're not alone. I mean, because I've put it out there, I hear so many other stories. And I don't want to do a spoiler alert, but in the film, one of the therapists comes to a conclusion. And I thought she was so right on about it, that my family just didn't know how to handle me. You know, when you come in as a creative and sensitive person into a family that's more or less clueless, you aren't it. We are aliens. We are aliens. You know, we're not controllable. We have our own mind. We want to do things our way. So we're curious, you know, and so that's shocking and uncontrollable and is alien material in this kind of family. Right, Mark, when you say that?
Yeah, it is. And Mark, I know that you've got so many questions and you want to get in here, but hang on a second, because we have to take a short break right now just to listen to these messages from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Dr. Mark Goulston, and our fabulous guest this week, who is Gail Kirshenbaum. And Mark, you were going to just come in with something before we went to the break. What did you want to say?
Well, something I was thinking about, because I didn't realize it, but I'm a serial creative, and I dropped out of medical school twice, probably for untreated depression, because, you know, it's they don't want you to be creative. I mean, you can be once you get out, but you know, they, you know, it's a trade, you know, medical school, law school, it's a trade skills, you know, you're learning a trade. And, but as you were talking, because I don't think my family got me either, I was thinking, what is the threat that we pose to those people? Because if they're finding a way to put us down, it must be that we're threatening them. And I've been giving that a lot of thought. And I'm thinking the threat is they were people who found a way to play by the rules, maybe even take advantage of the rules, maybe even flirt with a little sociopathy. Boy, I know how to work all these rules to my benefit. And so they didn't want anything or anyone that would question that, because it also gave them a sense of control. You know, oh, I'm going to play by the rules, and I'm going to win by the rules, and I'm going to be the best by the rules, and I am in control. And I think anything that would threaten them, and I think what might have threatened them, and I think we might all agree, something I never asked to see is I mainly see the elephant in the room. I often don't see the room. You know, and so, you know, growing up, you know, I would see these inconsistencies. Geez, we're a happy family. It didn't feel happy when I go visit my friends, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, but they're saying, oh, we're a good family. Oh, okay, then, you know, I must be either they're lying to me or I'm crazy, so I must be crazy. And all my life, I focused on the elephant in the room. Part of my work with suicidal patients is I think they want someone to help the hurt go away initially, and then you can treat them. And a lot of the hurt is just feeling alone in all this pain. And maybe they need someone to step into the pain with them and hang out with them. And when they see they're not alone, they'd start to cry. And, you know, and then together we'd find a treatment. But if you're trying to put them, treat them according to the rules, often they didn't work. So I'd welcome if any of that made sense to you, that we weren't born to say, I'm right and you're wrong. We were born to say, I'm just me. I'm just me.
Well, yeah. I think you're right about we threatened the status quo, because it was always about what they think. You know, it was always like how we appear. What are they going to think?
Yeah.
We have to appear as the happy, accomplished, good-looking, well-dressed family. So they will all see that. And I used to always say, who are they? And so when in comes to this, and it's control, as you said, you know, so it's so interesting because I watched my brother control everything in his life. And I think that more and had this incredible rage that he never dealt with. Mm. And I think it, you know, it just got him ill and he never dealt with it and he never got to enjoy his life. So you're right. You know, when we as the sensitive ones come into these families, we're shattering them. We're scaring them. We're threatening them. Oh no. And so their knee jerk reaction is got to control them. We can't let that happen. You know, no one could see this. You know, we have to push them down. And so there comes the desire for suicide. I mean, I found all my childhood diaries when I was working on my film and reread them. And as an artist, I also drew, I mean, pictures that look like Edward Munch's Scream, and thoughts of suicide, and then thinking, I hope that something horrible will happen to me, like get hit by a car, because then I'll be in the hospital and people would love me. They'll see me. Because what do we all want? We want to be seen, heard, acknowledged, and loved. That's all that we want. And when we grow up in a family where we're dismissed, like you were saying, JJ, right? Mm-hmm. When our feelings are dismissed, when our accomplishments are dismissed, what unless it's, you know, what they want, we feel ignored, unheard, unseen. And where does that go? It goes to depression, can go to suicide desires and attempts. And we're always being told we're wrong. There's something wrong with us, right?
Yeah. And this feeling of not being safe ever. that stayed with me so for most of my life. It's only in recent years that I've actually been able to lift that feeling or let go of that feeling of not being safe. It's like this thing that was gnawing away inside me. And I think, you know, some of the work that Mark does as well is to, when you're sitting with somebody and listening and hearing them and acknowledging who they are and acknowledging their feelings, then you get somewhere near that place of safety. And that's when people can open up. And, you know, all my life, people in my family, I guess, thought that I was just off. You know, I had this, I think to them, possibly glamorous career. You know, I was down in London, you know, living it up. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Except nobody really kind of asked me how it was going. And if they did ask me how it was going, do you know what I always said? Oh, great. Great. It's all good. Because if I'd said anything else, it would have just been too painful because that wouldn't have been acknowledged either. Because they couldn't hear that, you know, they couldn't hear that anything wouldn't be going great. So it is important to listen. And I think the tricky thing is for, or was for me anyway, was getting to that place where I could always feel safe, which thankfully I do today. I don't have that gnawing feeling anymore.
So I want to ask you a question. I want to tell you a feeling that I've had that I'm still struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
That is trust. Mm. I think my two issues growing up were trust and abandonment, because I was convinced my real parents dumped me off and these people took over and I was abandoned. Trust. I mean, I think at age 12, I said, I'm never going to let anybody hurt me like this again. And so I built a thick wall. It's no accident I never married, you know. I feel like I have to protect my energy, you know, because people can hurt you. And so that's something I struggle with. You know, I had this incredible dog that taught me how to surrender. And I think she opened me up tremendously. Of course, she didn't live forever. But yeah, so I just wondered, when you say safe, what is the safe thing, and where are you on the trust spectrum, if there's such a thing?
Yeah, I want to share something with both of you, but this is especially may resonate with you, Gail. Years ago, I saw someone, high achieving woman, pedal to the metal, and she came in, and I said, "Oh, I just figured out what you're most afraid of, and it's not being criticized, put down, marginalized. You don't like any of those things, but you're kind of used to that in the world. And so you don't like them, and you'd prefer it not to be that way, but that's not what you're really afraid of." And she had a lot of makeup on. I mean, she was an attractive person. And she stuck her chin out at me, and she said, "So what am I afraid of?" And then I looked her directly in the eye, and I say, "What you're really afraid of is feeling unconditionally safe and loved, and there's nothing you can do to earn it, and there's nothing you can do to lose it." And she paused, and then her head snapped back, and her eyes filled up with tears. And then I had a couch in that office, and she just collapsed to her side and just started sobbing. And it went on for about, over 5 minutes or so. And I knew she'd get through it. And she picks herself up, and, you know, and the mascara is running. She looks like the Joker from Batman. And she has a huge smile on her face. And she felt 10 pounds lighter. And I said, "What's that about?" She said, "You hit a nerve that is so deep, I can't remember it. And it's underneath everything. And all I know is it's true. And I've lived my entire life." And she said an interesting thing. She says, "I've lived my entire life, you know, sweeping things under the rug because, you know, I had to cope." And she said, "And my life is, I'm either excited or I'm exhausted. I don't really know joy or peace."
Hmm.
Yeah.
So can either of you relate to any of that?
Yeah. and very much so. And getting back to Gail's point about trust, I have been married twice, neither of which lasted more than 3 years, because I see now that there was no, you know, real basis for the relationship. Because if I couldn't feel safe, then, you know, it wasn't going to work. You know, that whole notion of unconditional love, is that deep, deep love, I don't think I'd ever come anywhere near that. And I haven't had children. So, you know, the unconditional love of a parent wasn't there to be experienced. So, yeah, and my eyes were welling up as you were talking there, Mark. So it really did hit home. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll share something with you, because I've been fortunate. I've had children. I'm married 44 years. And I get to see my grandchildren every day. There's four of them, four and under. And I didn't see my grandparents because we lived at a distance. And my grandchildren come over every day. And basically, when I'm with my children or my wife, I wouldn't say I'm ignored, but I am not included in anything, because, you know, they're talking about details, the day-to-day stuff. And if I was my kind of prone to depression father, if I was sitting in the room, I would just say, well, no one's talking to me. No one's asking me anything. I'll go up to, you know, my room and, you know, watch sports or something. But, and I'll tell you, something has happened. And what I decided is, and what was interesting is that when they're in the room and nobody's, I'm not being included, if I pick up my phone, they all give me the stink eye. They can all look at, I mean, they look at their phone. What are you looking at? Oh, okay. And then I said, okay, I'm not going to be like my father. I'm not going to pick up my phone. But I was still thinking about messages and texts. And then I did something in the last month or so. I said, I am not going to think of anything, and I am going to look at my grandchildren with utter delight, just utter delight. And even if they don't look at me often, if they catch my glance, I want to bathe them in utter delight, because they're not getting it from, you know, their parents, because their parents are busy and did you do such and such. And I'm telling you, it's healing to me because I'm living through them. They take a second hit. You know, they'll look at me, and when they see my eyes are just filled with utter delight, and I'm not thinking about anything else, it's healing something in my soul. So I don't know if you can follow that, but it's you know, it's a message I want to give people. And part of what I'm telling parents, even my children, you got to occasionally hit them with utter delight, which is just the calm awe of, and I'll tell you something, because, you know, I'm getting a little older. I have a few challenges in my life health-wise. When I see you, JJ and Gail, we don't really talk. I feel utter delight in just seeing both of you. Doesn't matter what project we're working on. And it just, it does something to my soul. Whereas I find that if I'm chasing any project, my ego is driving that.
You know, so
sorry I went on that tangent.
I'm so happy that you did that.
Because, yeah, me too.
That you said that because, you know, I'm not new to Mark, but I'm new to you, JJ. And I feel I'm among kindred spirits. You know, I feel like we get each other, that we hear each other, that we feel each other, that we listen to each other, that we connect to each other, that we have shared experiences and stories. We have empathy.
And that you, here's the important thing, and that you delight in each other.
Yes. Yes. Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And go on, Gail. You were saying something.
No, it's a connection, because how often, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you bring on a third guest or, and you have, you know, you have your own, whatever. How many times do you sit with somebody and you realize they're not even listening to you, you know, like they're just waiting for you to stop talking so they can get a word in, or they cut you off and you can't even finish the sentence. And I'm loving our threesome because we're all great listeners and we're plugging into what each of us are saying and connecting. And that means a lot.
It means a lot to me too. And I love that. And, you know, let's just hold that thought while we take another short break right now. We'll be back with more from me, JJ, Dr. Mark and Gail right after these messages from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, Dr. Mark Gulston, and Gail Kirschenbaum. And it occurs to me, Gail, that it was something that occurred to me actually before we started recording this. Kirschenbaum must mean cherry tree, mustn't it? And you really have blossomed, haven't you, over the years with all this forgiveness work that you've been doing. It's just beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, actually, I like my first name, which means source of joy. So yeah. I always say I like to see the, I like to turn the tragedies and the obstacles around. And that's, you know, I always say all the obstacles in our life are an opportunity for us to grow. And I talk about how I believe there was a reason I was born into the family I was born into with the obstacles, because I needed to figure it out. I couldn't, I was having all this career, you know, like you, I was in entertainment and I was having, you know, in the glamorous field, as they say, and having all this success featured all over the media. And then I'd go home to see my family and it was, you know, I was being bullied and I had my scapegoat, you know, sign on my forehead and my victim hat on. And I was reverting back to that role and it didn't matter, you know, I had like two lives. One day I'm, you know, on the Today Show, and the next day I'm cowering or pissed off and giving it back. So I knew I couldn't keep going like this. And that is when I realized I would have to forgive my mother. I had no idea how I would do it. And that's the movie, Look at Us Now, Mother. She agreed to go on camera while I worked on this relationship, when I worked on this goal of mine to forgive my mother. So the viewer follows it. And I actually just saying before I finish the book, and hopefully that will be out soon. So because you get a lot more in the book. So just to leave or give a little tip here. One of the main things is you have to understand the person who abuses you. So I dug into my mother's past, and, you know, people of her generation, she, you know, we have an Instagram account. She's becoming a social media influencer because at 99, she's admitting things that shocked me. I forgave her way before. So you never wait for that person to say they're sorry or acknowledge they did anything wrong, because it's like asking a blind person to drive a car. You know, you forgive for yourself. But anyway, so one of the main steps is to understand that person, to dig into their past. So I had to do a lot of research, because she blocked things out. Her generation is, and her mother always said, when you laugh, the world laughs with you. When you cry alone. So you don't hang out your dirty laundry. So what you do is they repressed all their trauma. She had a lot of trauma in her life, and you don't talk about it. So when I dug that up, I started to feel compassion for her. I saw her as a wounded child. I changed how I looked at her. You know, everything is there. What gets us upset in life is our unfulfilled expectations. We want people to, particularly our parents, our mother, to love and respect us and honor us. When they are abusive, that's horrible. But when I looked at her differently, I looked at her as a wounded child. I completely changed my expectations, because hurt people hurt people. You keep passing that on, right? Until we stop the cycle. So that's a major thing. And so I reframed how I looked at her after I dug into her past. And when I saw her as a little child who was wounded, which I related to because I was a wounded little child, I changed my expectations. So when those criticisms came, I never had a kid, but I say if you had a kid and your kid looked at you and said, mommy, daddy, I don't love you anymore, you pick them up and give them love, because you know what that means. So when your mother says you're fat, you're stupid, you're going to amount to nothing, I looked at her as a little kid. And so instead of reacting, letting that go through me, stay in me, unleash, I just let it bounce off like, yeah, you know, she's just a wounded child. And then I got to a point I was able to give compassion. So I took her power away. When you don't react to the abuse, to the criticisms, they eventually stop because they're not having the impact they want to have on you. And that's how you transform relationships, by how you react. And we can only control ourselves. And it's so freeing. And no one can believe the relationship I have with my mother today. I could have like just chucked it off and just wrote her off, as so many people have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did find some a lot of healing in my mother's last days. I lived with her for the last 2 years of her life, a couple of years of her life, as she descended into dementia, and she was infirm and incapable of doing many things, and so I was doing a lot of nursing, although that wasn't what I set out to do. But in the end, she knew that she needed help, and she was, enjoying having somebody with her 24/7. And she said to me at one point, I don't want you to leave, because I was looking for somewhere to live for me. And she said, I don't want you to leave. And like you, I saw her as a frightened child. And yes, I mean, all of the things that she'd said and done over the years. But I couldn't have left her. You wouldn't leave a child like that. And so I stayed with her, and I was there with her when she finally drew her last breath. And it was hugely healing. Very difficult, but hugely healing. And and there were a couple of times in that space where she did actually say to me, I love you. And I was able to say it back to her without there being any charge and with me actually feeling and hearing it. And that was just beautiful. You know,
that is beautiful.
It was just letting go. So things were resolved towards the end. I was very angry when she finally did pass. She was in my arms, but that was probably because there were, you know, lots more things that I wanted to say and I wanted to hear her say, but that was never going to happen. And as I say, it wasn't until about 2 years after that it dawned on me that the reason she behaved the way she behaved was because of all the trauma in her early life. Exactly as you've described. Yeah.
It's passed on. Yeah.
I want to read a little something. I wasn't planning this. So my first book was called Get Out of Your Own Way. And one of the reasons it did well is because, and it's 40 self-defeating behaviors, but the first chapter is called Chasing After Love and Approval from a Parent. It begins with a quote from Oscar Wilde. Children begin by loving their parents. As they grow older, they judge them. Sometimes they forgive them. And the chapter, in the short chapters, and the chapter begins like this. A patient of mine told her mother she was seeing a therapist. Terrific, sniffed her mother. He'll try to convince you that you hate me. No, Mom, replied my patient. I knew that going in. He's trying to convince me that I love you.
That's great.
Yeah, and I love that.
End, and then at the end, they have little usable insights. So the end of it is, if you want what you never got from your parent, become your own grandparent.
Mm.
So that's kind of what you did to your parent, to your moms. Mm-hmm.
JJ, yeah. So you know, I was very touched by your story because I'm now with my mother in her home. I assume you went into your mother's home, right?
Yeah.
This morning, I have to leave here to work because I don't really have a proper room. So I either go to cafes that open up early and then get to a library. So I'm really out by like 6 or 7. And sometimes she's up, sometimes she's not. And at the door this morning, she was grabbing me and saying, I love you. And I know, you know, it's like it's come such full circle. And also, you know, we're caregivers, you know, and we're the one I know that. And it's interesting, you were one of three sisters, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So because it's interesting how you ended up being the one.
Yeah.
You were the youngest, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm the one here.
Yeah. It is interesting, isn't it? And maybe that was, you know, our fate all along. Who knows? You know, that was how it was always going to have to be. The rebels in the family, the ones who didn't fit in the square pegs, were the ones who ultimately would be
the final. I'm actually living in fear now of losing her.
Oh, so
I'm not ready for this. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. So enjoy the time with her.
Dig a little bit. And what I'm most afraid of when she goes is what? What are you afraid of, Gail?
She's become my closest friend. You know, she is my closest friend. It's losing your close friend, you know? And she has my back now. It's like a 180 degree change. The person who was quite the reverse, you know, my saboteur, now is the only one that really has my back. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like she's suddenly an empath or she's a totally different person. She's not, but I know she's there for me and vice versa.
I want to share a quote from someone. So I was seeing someone years ago, and she had a larger than life father, and she was, and he was world renowned. He had multiple, you know, marriages, but he adored her, and she saw me after he died, and said, you know, I'm just sort of in free fall. And then one day she came in, and she said, I'm better. I said, what happened? And she said, it simply comes down to living with life never being the same again. So life being different doesn't mean it's over. Whereas before, it's over because I'm so. But she said, you know, I think I can be happy. I think I can love. I think I can have kids. It'll just never be the same again. But it was just, and when she leaned into the word living with life never being the same again, it was just, it was just so eloquent. You could feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And And personally, I felt a freedom as well.
Yeah.
You know, even though there'd been a coming together in the last years, there was a freedom.
Yeah. I think about that too, because I feel my life is really wrapped up here. I've made her my priority now. It's hard for me to think of even, you know, a relationship. I mean, if someone comes in, but do I have the emotional bandwidth to have one? I mean, if it happens, it happens, but I'm pretty wrapped up here. And then it's the home, you know, when I left going through the home and everything, you know, as a very sensitive person, everything. I don't know if you emptied your mother's home, but
we all three of us did. Yeah. Yeah.
You did. Yeah. Yeah. I'll pretty much be the one on my own here. Yeah. So yeah. Interesting.
Wow. Gail, this has been such a wonderful, rich conversation. We are coming to the end of our time together, which I'm very sad to say, and it seems to have flown by. I do want to ask you where people again can watch the movie, find out more about you. Tell us all the places where people can find you.
Okay. So if they go first to my website, which I think I should spell my name, it's Gail Kirshenbaum. So Gail is with a Y. It's G-A-Y-L-E Kirshenbaum, K-I-R-S-C-H-E-N like Nancy, B like boy, A-U-M like Mary.com. Because that will link you to everything and they could find Look at Us Mother there, meaning it will link you to it and they could email me through there. The other thing that I want to tell your listeners is I'm very active on Instagram, both my mother and I. She's becoming a social media influencer.
I love it.
If you want to follow us, go to my Instagram, and I put everything also on TikTok. So, and then I'm going to be building out the YouTube, but right now I'm focused on Instagram, and that's at GL Kirshenbaum. Of course, you get to the website, it links to everything. And the other thing I want to put out is I'm giving a free webinar on forgiveness. And so that's going to be Zoom, and anyone could plug in anywhere in the world. And it's on March 18th. I'm going to I just set it up now. It's March 18th between 2 and 3 Eastern Standard Time. So I'm not sure what it is your time. But you have those clocks that you can.
Will it be recorded or no?
I'm not sure. I don't know yet, but I'm going to put it on my website. And so you can sign up for that. And then I'm going to be offering a 1-day virtual workshop, probably a month later. And I take very few people for that because we do a lot of work, but you can be anywhere in the world and participate. And then what's coming up in July, which I'm very excited about. I don't know if you're familiar with Omega Institute. Do you know Omega in, up in Rhinebeck, New York? It's a wellness. Either are you familiar? Anyway, it's one you've heard of it. Yeah. It's a very well-known place for anything in the wellness world. So, you know, Deepak Chopra, a lot of the household names have teach there and other people. So I'm going to do a 3-day workshop there, and you will see the movie at the beginning of that workshop. So that's going to be coming on live in March. But if you sign up for my newsletter at my website, that would be the best thing, at GailKirshenbaum.com, and a pop-up happens, because then you'll get everything as I'm releasing it. Okay. So my mission here, thank you, is just to help as many people as I can help.
Fantastic. And Mark, we have pretty much run out of time. Mm-hmm. I was going to come back to you and have a final thought, but you know, there is no more time.
Well, we'll save the final thought for the next show.
We will do that. So, Mark, I'm sure you'll join me in thanking Gail for coming on our show today. It's been a beautiful, beautiful conversation. I've really enjoyed it. That sounds weird, but you know, it really has been an experience where I felt that we have heard each other and listened, and I've loved that. So thank you so, so much. And yep, that is the end of the show. I would say to everybody, remember that you can listen to the UK Health Radio podcast wherever you hear your podcasts or listen to your podcasts. But you can tune in again next time to this show on ukhealthradio.com. And Mark and I will be back with another guest then. Until then, enjoy, listen, just listen and enjoy your life with your family. Mark.
And if you have a chance,
Yeah, exactly. Bathe
someone in your life with utter delight, which means let them see a sparkle in your eyes where they see nothing but awe and pleasure.
There you go. And on that note, goodbye from all of us here.